Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/Nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm 52, Tilah Nun Bet. As in the previous Psalm 51, Psalm 52 gives a very clear historical setting. On the run from King Saul, David stops over in the city of Nov, which is a city of priests, where a temporary temple was set up at the time. David is looking for food. There, at the same time, was the chief in charge of Saul's shepherds, Doeg the Edomite. Doeg heard and saw what David asked from the high priest, Ahimelech, and he heard David say that he was on a secret mission from Saul and had left Saul in a rush without taking either food or provisions, and Ahimelech gave him bread and Goliath's sword. David then makes his escape and manages to put together a military force, first in Moab and then in the territory of Judah. When Doeg the Edomite realizes that Saul has declared David the leader of a full-fledged rebellion against the king, Doeg twists what he heard in the city of Nov, claiming that the priests had thrown in their lot with David's rebellion. Saul rejects the protestations of innocence by the high priest, but there's hope, since Saul's young swordsmen don't want to kill priests for treason. Doeg, however, is more than willing, and he kills 85 of them. Saul then has the city completely destroyed as if it was a city of idol worshippers. Only one Kohen survives. That Kohen runs to David, who feels guilty for setting in motion the events that caused the destruction of the city of Nov. Now, all of this is background, but, and this is a very important but, it is not the psalm itself. Psalms were not created for single events, otherwise they would not be appreciated as the universal and timeless prayers that they are. They may be inspired by a single event or a single person of evil, but David's tirade here is against all those who do evil, who knowingly lie, who knowingly cause death and destruction for their own aggrandizement, all the while saying that they are in fact acting in God's name. Doeg HaEdomi wasn't the first of his kind, nor will he be the last. So this psalm is usable over and over and over again. Lamnatzeach maskil leDavid, for the maestro, a song for teaching wisdom by David. Here I've translated maskil as teaching wisdom rather than just as a musical note, because it fits the purpose of the psalm, which is to teach a wisdom. Bevo Doeg HaEdomi veYagid Shaul vayomer lo ba David el Beit Ahimelech. As Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, saying, David came to the house of Ahimelech. Here, as in the previous psalm, we have two words meaning to come in the inscription, bo. But in Psalm 51, where David's coming to Bathsheba was sinful, and Nathan's coming to David was to help him to repent, here David's coming to the priest Ahimelech in Nov was innocent, and Doeg's coming to Saul was sinful, as his report was twisted and was done with evil intent. Mati talel v'ra'a hagibor, chesed el kol hayom. How can you praise yourself while doing evil, O hero, asserting that you are the loyal one of God every day? Chesed el kol hayom. Hero is obviously used here as not only a direct reference to the person, speaking to the person, but it's obviously being used quite facetiously, although no doubt there it is the person who is in the position of being rich and famous and powerful, the quote-unquote hero, who is in the position to do the sins that are the same as Doeg's in this situation. Havot tachshov l'shonecha kitar melutash oser remiyah. Your tongue fashions lies like a sharp razor. It makes deceit, which refers to the tongue, or perhaps it makes death or wounds, referring to the razor. Ahavta ra mitov sheker midaber tzedek sela. You love evil over good, you love lies over telling the truth. Selah. David is asserting that the evil was done with intent, done with the knowledge of the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil, and worse, the quote-unquote hero aggrandizes himself and praises himself for what he has done. Ahavta kol divrei vala lishon mirma. Now there's no sign of good at all. You love words that devour, you love deceitful speech. And now the comeuppance. Gam el yitatzecha la netzach Yachtecha v'yisachecha me'ohel v'sheireshcha me'eretz chayim selah. So too will El, God, the same name that you use to refer to yourself as loyal to him above, so too will God topple you, he will cut you down and bring you low from your cover, and he will uproot you from the land of the living Selah. The image is of a tree so uprooted that no chance for a regrowth exists. V'yiru tzadikim v'yirau v'alav ishaku. And the righteous will see this and be awestruck, and then they will laugh about him. Hine agever lo yasim Elohim ma'uzo vayivtach berov oshro ya'oz behavoto. Indeed, the man, notice the word gever here, is a play on the word gibor, hero, from above, because where he was once a hero, high and mighty and rich and powerful, he is now just a gever, just a guy. Indeed, the man never places God as his fortress, but he relies on his own wealth. He takes strength in everything he has. Or perhaps behavoto is used as it was before, he takes strength in his own deceptions. Va'ani kizayit ra'anan b'veit Elohim, batachti b'chesed Elohim olam va'ed. Keeping with the tree metaphor, but I am like a leafy, like a healthy olive tree in the house of God. I rely on the loving kindness of God forever and ever. In contrast to you, the gever, the quote-unquote kibor, who praised yourself falsely as being loyal to God every day. And as thanks for salvation from God that the gibor, the hero, was laid low, and thanks that the uncorrupt man was allowed to thrive like this olive tree in the temple, the psalmist promises, Odecha le'olam ki asita va'akaveh shimcha ki tov neged chasidecha. I will praise you forever because of what you did, or what you do, or what you will always do. I will trust in your name because it is good in front of all your loyal ones. The sense is, as in the last psalm, and as the story of David's life in general, is that he dedicated himself to publicizing God's glory, of making a public show of his devotion to the Lord. It also seems that he uses a metaphor of himself, not just as a tree that is leafy and vibrant, but of one that is planted in the house of God. That is a promise that he seems to make or envision or be happy about. And that may be a little bit of his guilt that is bubbling up here, that is ultimately, even though he did not cause the destruction of Nov, that was Doeg, he did put himself in a situation where such a destruction might have been able to take place. So justified or no, he, I think, is paying back a certain degree of his own sense of responsibility in making sure that when he comes to fruition, when his tree is firmly planted, it will be planted again in the house of God to make up for the other house of God, Nov, that was lost.